This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Okay, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. As-salatu was-salam ala ashrafil anbiya wal mursaleen wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'een amma ba'd. Ayyuha al-ikhwatul kiram. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Wa nas'al Allah ta'ala an yataqabbal minna ويغفر لنا ذنوبنا ويكفر عنا سيئاتنا نسأله بعلم نافع ورزق واسع وعليه نتوكل وإليه المصير ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. Praise be to Allah, Lord of the worlds. Peace and blessings on His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Brothers and sisters of the Saints, salams to you and the mercy and the blessings of Allah be with you all. We ask Allah always to accept from us and to forgive us, to keep us always guided aright. And we ask Him for beneficial knowledge and understanding and wide sustenance. On Him we are utterly dependent. To Him is our return and goal. And there is no power and might except that of Allah. And today we move to Al-Hadith Al-Ishroon, the Hadith number 20. As Imam Nawawi mentions, عن أبي مسعود عقبة ابن عمرو الأنصاري البدري رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إن مما أدرك الناس من كلام النبوة الأولى إذا لم تستحي فاصنع ما شئت. He says that it is reported from Abu Mas'ud Uqba ibn Amr al-Ansari, from the Ansar al-Badri, meaning he was at Badr, radiallahu an, may Allah be pleased with him. He said that the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, said, among the words people obtained from the words of the previous prophets, or previous prophecies, are, if you have no shame, then do as you wish. It is reported by Imam Bukhari in his As-Sahih, Jami As-Sahih, as Imam Nawawi mentions. This hadith also comes in Abu Dawud, Ibn Majah, and in the Adab al-Mufrad book of Imam al-Bukhari as well. A little bit about, we don't have much about the narrator, Abu Mas'ud Uqba ibn, this is not Ibn Mas'ud, this is Abu Mas'ud Uqba ibn Amr al-Ansari. Of course, he's from the Ansar. Ibn Mas'ud wasn't from the Ansar anyway, but that's a separate issue. Imam Nawawi mentions Badri, Imam Tufi said there's ikhtilaf on it amongst the ulama. It's not a big issue, to be honest, whether he was there at Badr or whether he wasn't there at Badr. Most of them said, according to Imam Tufi, that he went there and therefore his name was attached as Badri to it. But Imam Bukhari himself made a judgment and said he actually witnessed the battle of Ghazwatul Badr, meaning he was part of it. And he mentioned that this is mentioned in directly in the hadith anyway. So that's the best opinion, that he was Badri. He died in 41st year of Hijrah. And again, some difference of opinion as to whether he died in Kufa or whether he died in Al-Madinah. He reports about 100 hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this being amongst them. Now, this hadith, in exact words, is actually, as you find it in Sahih al-Bukhari, as I mentioned, if you were to check it there. The first part of it, that which has, among the words which have reached people from the words of previous prophecy, means that it seems that they're from previous prophethood. In other words, from previous revelation. Yeah, prophets which have then circulated and been passed on. So Prophet ﷺ saying, these are amongst the words that came from previous revelation and previous prophets. Yeah. That's also mentioned by Ibn Rajab as well. Imam Nawawi has only a few lines of comments, which are similarly mentioned by Imam At-Tufi as well in his sharh, and are repeated again really by Ibn Rajab. And we should mention, Imam Nawawi says, the idea, if you have no shame, then do as you wish. He says it can be seen in two ways. Yeah. One, that it is, because it's like an order, yeah, do as you wish if you have no shame. So he says, however, it's not an encouragement, obviously, do it, but it's an order which is called tahdidi. It's like a warning. It's like somebody who's being bad, you say, go ahead, go and do it then, meaning see what the consequences are. Yeah. So it's come like that. And similarly says Ibn Rajab, and similarly says Imam Tufi as well, yeah, because, and they say this is similar to in the Quran when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah 41, verse 40, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إن الذين يلحدون في آياتنا لا يخفون علينا. Surely those who reject our signs, they are not hidden from us. Allah says, أَفَمَن يُلْقَى فِي النَّارِ خَيْرٌ أَمَّن يَأْتِي آمِنًا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Is the one who is cast into the hellfire better, yeah, than the one who is brought safely in safety on the day of resurrection? Then Allah says, "I'malu, do." Yeah, it's an order. "I'malu ma shi'tum, do as you wish." Innahu kana bima ta'maluna basira. Yeah, surely Allah is ever watchful, seeing everything, all that you do. So do as you wish. Surely Allah is watching and seeing, sees everything that you do, is a warning. Yeah, after mentioning the fire, the difference between paradise and hellfire. So when Allah says here, do, it's not an order to actually go and do bad. It's comes in a sense of warning. This is part of rhetoric, as part of ilm al-ma'ani, when an order, the word form comes in an order, but it doesn't actually mean an order. It's a warning kind of order. Similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah 39, verse 15, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَعْبُدُوا مَا شِئْتُمْ مِنْ دُونِهِ. قُلْ إِنَّ الْخَاسِرِينَ الَّذِينَ خَسِرُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ وَأَهْلِيهِمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَلَا ذَلِكَ هُوَ الْخُسْرَانُ الْمُبِينُ. So all of you, worship whoever you wish to worship aside from him, from Allah. Because that's not an order to encourage you to go and do that. It's an order of warning. Yeah, if you're going to carry on, do what you want, then worship whoever you want aside from Allah. Then Allah says, say, surely the losers are those who lose, yeah, who cause loss to themselves, yeah, khasiru anfusahum, and their families on the day of resurrection, yeah. On the day of resurrection, then Allah says, "Ala dhalika huwa al-khusran al-mubin." Is that not then the clear and most clear loss, obvious loss? So that these verses are similar, can be used similar way as hadith saying, "If you have do as you wish," coming from that angle, but Imam Nawawi and others say it can also come in the way of meaning that if you have no shame, yeah, what they meant here was that if you don't feel shy about something you're going to do before Allah, or that you don't feel it's shameless, then do it, yeah. So they mean by that, that in other words, what you're going to do is going to be mubah, yeah? Or that which is your order to do. Yeah? So meaning, the meaning of you don't have shame, meaning if you don't feel that this is negative before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then do it, meaning it must be allowed. Yeah, that's another angle that they say it can have the meaning of. And then a third way of looking at it, as is mentioned also by Imam Zarabozo and Ibn Rajab, he follows him in mentioning that as well. The third way of looking at it is that even though it comes in the way of an order, its meaning is giving you information. In what sense? They call it khabar in it's a statement. What's it stating? It's stating that if a person has no shame, then he or she will do whatever he or she wishes. He or she will do whatever he or she wishes. Yeah? So it's like a statement. So if somebody has no shame, they'll do that. Excuse me, I'm just trying to get rid of these. Sorry, brothers and sisters, I got cut off. Hello? Assalamu alaikum. Zafar, am I all right to carry on?
Yes, Sheikh. Inshallah.
Yeah, sorry, I got cut off.
Oh, no, no problem.
So the third way of looking at it, it can be taken as a statement that, of course, if somebody's going to have no shame, they will do as they wish. Yeah? Bad or good, whatever, they'll do anything. That's another way of looking at it. And the fourth way, Zarabozo says, I'm looking at this statement, is that it's actually just encouraging to have modesty, haya, and we'll look at that in a minute, what exactly it means. To have some sense of shame or modesty, because you're not allowed to do whatever you want. So, yeah, the having that sense of shame will help you to do that which is right. To be honest, when I look at all these and I look at the hadith and how it comes, In my opinion, the best is like the Quran came with those verses. Yeah. If you have no sin, do as you please, do as you wish, meaning there'll be consequences. It's come more of a warning. Yeah. It can be, of course, it gives the idea secondarily anyway that one who doesn't have any shame, they will do bad things because they've lost that sense of shame. So it can have that secondarily, yeah. But fast na ma shit, do as you wish, is more of a warning especially when it's linked with what came from previous prophets and previous revelation. Yeah. The rest, most of it has been summarized really by Imam Zarabozo, whatever Ibn Rajab says, especially, you know, he focuses heavily on what Imam Ibn Rajab said in his Sharh. And so if I move to that, Imam Ibn Rajab mentions a couple of ahadith which are linked with this. Both of them are weak. He actually says they're weak themselves, so I'm not even going to waste my time with mentioning them because we have authentic hadith to mention anyway in this regard. So, what is the idea of haya? What is al-haya? In Arabic, it has similar roots to hayat with ta marbuta, which means life. And haya, some scholars say, is linked with that in a sense that if somebody's alive as they should be, as servants of God, then they will naturally have a sense of shame and modesty, yeah? And because the dead don't have any sense of shame and modesty. And so some people link it like, al-haya means shame, you can say, modesty, moral conscience and shyness. All that is the meaning of haya. When I say modesty, we must differentiate, because in English, modesty can be applied in the sense of also humility. Yeah. You say somebody's not arrogant, they are modest. We're not talking about that here. Al-haya doesn't mean humility. That modesty means humility. The opposite of arrogance is at-tawadu', yeah, bil-arabiya, in Arabic. So this is not the same as that. At-tawadu', which means humility. Humility is opposite to arrogance, and modesty can come there as well. Yeah, he's modest, he's not arrogance, meaning he's humble. Yeah, humble and humility is not the same as having a sense of shame and moral conscience and being shy as well. Yeah, which is al-haya, which is what we're talking about here. What is the opposite of modest al-haya? Yeah, the opposite of it in Arabic, we could say al-waqaha. They say al-waqaha. Yeah, waw qaf ha, or as-safaqa. Al-waqaha is enough, really. Somebody who has al-waqaha means they are shameless. Yeah, in our English, you would say shameless, impudent, insolent, yeah, impertinent. So if something's pertinent, the opposite, impertinent, maybe the meaning they are doing inappropriate, yeah, behavior from words and actions. So impertinent means gone beyond the limit. So the idea means really, it means shameless instead of having a sense of shame. That's the opposite, of course, al-waqaha in Arabic. Ibn Rajab said the same, Imam Zarabozo says the same. They say that this haya, a sense of shame or moral consciousness or modesty or shyness, is of two types. That which is natural he put there by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah? And they say, for example, a sense of wanting to cover nakedness, just as human beings. Yeah? The difference between animals, including those people claim to be our near relatives, Allahu alam, no sense of the nakedness being covered only comes with the sense of naked, covering the nakedness with the human being. And it comes in a natural way. Yeah. It can be eroded. Yeah. It can be eroded with the kind of ideas that human beings, yeah, then follow, yeah, and with their desires, etc. Yeah. So that can be eroded as well. Or it can be escalated and developed further through belief in Allah. Yeah. So that's acquired now, haya, acquired sense of shame. So it, before I go there, it can be acquired through belief in Allah, like believers, like we say for ourselves. But there's an acquired sense of modesty and shame through society as well, which can affect not just believers, but society itself, which we call al-urf, yeah, culture. And that can change with time and place. Yeah, a kind of dress sense may be shameless in a particular culture and time, and it is modest in a different culture and time. Isn't that so? It's possible. Yeah. So, and you can have people who are modest in their words and in their behavior, yeah, who are not Muslim. Isn't that right? You don't say anybody who's a disbeliever, they're all shameless people. No, that's unjust. Yeah. So then we come to the idea of belief. But belief takes it to a different level, just like belief in God and the guidance that came with the final messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, took the morals and the akhlaq and the behavior of people to a different level. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Innama bu'istu li utammima makarim al-akhlaq," didn't he? Yeah. I have only been sent or raised to perfect the morals and behavior and good morals. Perfect meaning they're already there, yeah, but to take them to the next level. Yeah. So the same idea here with al-haya or modesty. Part of that, a significant part of that, in fact, the most important part of that acquired idea of shame and sense of modesty and shyness is when you believe in Allah and the Day of Judgment, is to be shy before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, knowing He is watching, seeing whatever you are doing. Shy from what? Not shy from doing the halal things, yeah. Not shy from doing halal things, but feel shy from doing that which He made haram. Yeah, that is the very foundation of believers' source of haya. It begins by having shyness before people, shyness before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah, so that is very much linked with belief. And all the scholars mentioned for haya this idea that and that's why Imam Nawawi, for example, he says al haya, this modesty and shyness, the whole of the deen revolves around it. Yeah, it is such a core part. Yeah, because that is, this haya is that which is going to push you, like iman. Yeah. Like iman, Ibn Rajab says similarly, Imam Nawawi said the same. Like iman, it's going to drive you to do that, to obey Allah, yeah, and stay away from the muharramat, those things which He made haram, yeah, because you're going to feel shy, yeah, and have a moral conscience and shame from doing them, yeah. So that's why Imam Nawawi said that the deen, yeah, the sharia, the life of a believer revolves around this, and that's why he included this hadith in his book, in his 40 hadith, Yeah, because remember, he picks those which are the very core. And many times we come across, and many scholars said these four hadiths, these three hadiths, yeah, are the very essence of Islam. Yeah, so this is one of them. Yeah, again, and this is how they saw it. And that's perhaps linked with the idea which is mentioned by hadith in Bukhari Muslim, muttafaqun alayh, when the Prophet ﷺ said, Al-Iman bidun wa sab'un aw bidun wa situna shu'ba. Yeah. That Iman consists of 60 or 70 branches, or 70 or 60 branches, more than 60 or more than 70 branches. فَأَفْضَلُهَا قَوْلْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. And the most virtuous of those branches of Iman is the statement, there is no God but Allah. And the least of them, yeah, is إِمَاطَةُ الْأَذَىٰ عَنِ الطَّرِيقِ, is to remove something harmful from the road or the street. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, وَالْحَيَاءُ شُعْبَةٌ مِّنَ الْإِيمَانِ, and modesty and shyness is a part, a branch of Iman. Yeah, and that's why you see why Imam Nawawi and even Rajab said that this is like Iman. It keeps you on the straight and narrow, as it were, this sense of shyness and modesty before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, prevents a believer from sinning. And another hadith which is reported by Ahmad ibn Hibban and Imam Tirmidhi reports it from Abu Huraira, that the Prophet ﷺ said, Al-Haya'u min al-Iman, that modesty is from faith. Wal-Imanu fil Jannah, and faith or Iman will be in paradise. Wal-Baza'u min al-Jafa', and Baza' or Bazi is the one who's speaking foul language. So it's trying to show you shamelessness as in language, yeah, in words, compared to modesty and shyness and having shame. So then the Prophet ﷺ said, foul speech and obscenity is from coarseness and harshness of character, meaning, yeah. And coarseness and harshness will be in the fire. Yeah, well, Jafa'u fin nar. This is authentic hadith. Also, Imam Tirmidhi mentions a hadith which is authentic from Anas, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, ma kana al-fuhshu fi shay'in illa shana. Yeah, whenever there is fuhsh, meaning obscenity, in something, yeah, it spoils or ruins it. وَمَا كَانَ الْحَيَاءُ فِي شَيْءٍ. Yeah, and whenever there is modesty and shyness in something, yeah, إِلَّا زَانَهُ. Yeah, there isn't modesty and shyness in something except that it beautifies it, from the Prophet. So that also shows you this hadith, that one of the things, aside from, as we said, al-waqaha in Arabic, being the opposite of al-haya, Al-fuhsh or fahisha, which is obscenity, again, which is shameless, of course, is also mentioned, as in this hadith, being opposite to haya or modesty, as is al-bazaar, which is obscene talk and obscene speech. And the Prophet as mentioned in hadith in Bukhari Muslim, كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أشد حياء, أشد حياء من الأضراء من خدرها, فإذا رأى شيئا يكرهه عرفناه في وجهه. Yeah, it said the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was one of the most shy and modest people around. He was more shy, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, and modest, than a virgin girl in her private room. Yeah, that's how the reporter, the Sahabi, has mentioned it. And he says that if the Prophet saw something which he disliked, yeah, which was not nice, yeah, or immodest, you can say, we would realize it from his face. Yeah, his face would show us. Yeah, we could tell from his face and his appearance that, you know, this was not a pleasant thing. One other thing I want to mention while defining this shyness and modesty, and of course we have, before I mention that, we have a hadith about the Prophet saying about Uthman ibn Affan. Yeah, that is a Sahabi whom even the angels feel, because of his shyness and modesty, even the angels feel shy when he's there. Yeah, showing his beautiful character and his modesty and shyness, that of Uthman ibn Affan, which is famous. And he's known by the title of the one who was so shy and so modest, radiallahu anh. Now, another term that ulama mentioned to differentiate al-haya from is khajal. Khajal means to be embarrassed or to be bashful. You could say that it has an element of haya in it, yeah, bashful, because it gives the idea of being shy. Yeah, many people and many scholars will say khajal is a negative thing, because it means, it's, they say it's not linked with being modest and shy before Allah or having a sense of shame, but they say to be extremely embarrassed and bashful all the time is a sign of weakness or cowardice. It's like somebody being scared to speak, somebody who feels they've got some deficiency in them. They always feel they've got an inferiority complex, and therefore they won't go out too much, you know, or they won't speak in front of people. They won't ask a question. Yeah. All that, they say, are negative signs of khajal. Yeah. Extreme bashfulness. And I think generally that can be said, but khajal, I believe, is not all negative. It does have an element in it of al-haya, of shyness. Yeah. But it can lead to negativity. Whereas al-haya, we have a hadith in reported by Imam Bukhari in his Sahih from Abdullah ibn Umar, radiallahu anhuma. Marra Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed by ala rajul, a person. Wa huwa yu'atab fil haya, and he was admonishing someone else about modesty, yeah, and shyness. Yaqul innaka latastahyi. He was saying, you are very shy. Yeah. Hatta ka'annahu yaqul qad adarra bik. And Ibn Umar is saying, it seemed as though he was telling him off for being shy, and because it's going to harm you, the shyness. Yeah. Whereas in the authentic hadith, we have the most shy and modest person, Uthman ibn Affan. So it's obviously not a negative, but this Sahabi at the time of the Prophet was telling another one off for being too shy. However, the Prophet passed by, and then the Messenger spoke up and said, Da'hu fa'inna al-haya min al-iman. Yeah, and in one version he said, Al-haya'u la ya'ti illa bi khayr. Prophet said, leave him alone, for haya, modesty, is part of faith. In another statement, Bukhari Muslim, Prophet said that haya, or modesty and shyness, doesn't come except with good. It's always comes with good, and that allows still for exceptions. Okay, despite the Prophet saying that, and let me come to the exceptions before I add a few more things on the idea of haya and its relevance to us today. What exactly it does mean, because some people do misunderstand this. There are two ways, and that haya or khajal or being bashful, is probably linked more with that. That can lead to negative situation. One, when someone has a fear of people, that some people say that's shyness, but actually it's not shyness and modesty. It's more to do with khajal, as I mentioned before, which is more to do with cowardice and fear of speaking, the truth, because you're afraid of the people that you're going to speak it in front of. So that is not haya. That is not haya. And I'll explain further, because haya doesn't lead to weakness. That's not the idea. And I'll explain it further later. Imam Zanabozo mentions a long hadith, which is in Ahmad and Tirmidhi, which is not authentic. And in that hadith, which is from Sayyid Abi Sayyid al-Khudri, saying that the Prophet said, Allah la yamna anna rajulan haybatun linnas haybatun nas an yaqul bihaq idha alima. So Abi Sayyid Khudri is saying that a person shouldn't be prevented because of the fear of human beings in speaking the truth if he or she knows that truth. And then Abu Sayyid starts crying in this weak hadith, saying, by Allah, we've seen things and we've been afraid of the rulers, tyrant or cruel rulers in our time, and we didn't speak and say something. But anyway, this is not authentic, this hadith. So nevertheless, the idea is correct. That al-haya is not linked with this. A second thing is al-haya, the exception where it can be negative, is preventing from learning. And I think because Mujahid, who's a student of Abdullah ibn Abbas, the famous Mufassir of the Quran from the Tabi'een, Imam Bukhari mentions that Mujahid said, لا يتعلم العلم مستحيين ولا مستقرين. Two people will not learn knowledge properly, he means. Two people cannot learn knowledge. The one who is too shy and the one who is arrogant. The one who is too shy because they're not going to clarify things because they're too shy to ask questions. And the one who is arrogant, because as ignorant as they might be, the arrogance stops them asking and inquiring or even learning because they think they know it all. They say Mr. Know-it-all. Those are the kind of people who are in danger of not really learning. And in contrast to that, you see in Bukhari and Abu Dawud, the famous statement of Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha radiallahu anha, قال, نعم النساء نساء الأنصار. The most blessed women are the women of the Ansar. لم يكن يمنعهن الحياة. Their modesty and shyness did not prevent them. أن يسألن عن الدين. In asking about religion. ويتفقهن فيه. And in understanding it, their shyness didn't prevent them. And now we have an example of that in a hadith in Bukhari. Ja'at Sulaim, who's the mother of Anas. Sulaim came to the messenger of Allah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, faqalat ya Rasulullah, and she said, O messenger of Allah, in Allah la yastahi min al-haq, surely Allah is not shy from the truth, meaning not shy for us asking about the truth. فَهَلْ أَلَى الْمَرْأَةُ أَلَى الْمَرْأَةِ مِنْ غُسْلٍ إِذَا احْتَمَلَتْ. Is there bath for a woman when she has a wet discharge, meaning a sexual wet discharge, of course, it's talking about. Ihtalamat from ihtilam. Qala Nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, meaning when she has an orgasm, basically, that's what it's really saying. Qala Nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so the messenger of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Iza ra'at al-ma, if she sees the liquid from it. فَغَطَّتْ سَلَمَا تَعْنِي وَجْهَهَا وَقَالَتْ Then it says, Salama, covered her face out of shyness, because she wants to ask something even more. She says, وَقَالَتْ يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ or Messenger of Allah, أَوَا تَحْتَلِمَ الْمَرَاتُ Does a woman have an orgasm? Qala na'am, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. See, look at the kind of questions the women are asking the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's why Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha Tashayz in the previous series I mentioned, their shyness didn't prevent them to ask about the deen and if they're going to be overly shy, they're never going to ask, and these questions will not be therefore answered for them because it concerns them and they are the kind of Ummul Mu'mineen is saying about the women of the Ansar, because she would not imagine the women of Makkah ever asking questions like that. Just a cultural difference between them. So, does a woman even have an orgasm? He said, yes, taribat yameenak, meaning you don't even realize that. Fabima yushbihu huha waladuha. Yushbihuha waladuha. Where? How else do you think that he's saying is a child born? Meaning there's an element from her, not just in the orgasm, but in the reproductive side. He's talking about the egg and the ovum. How else do you think? So he relates it with that, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, these are the kind of things that are being mentioned by ulama, with some clarifications by myself. What is al-haya? We've already been discussing it. Let me clarify further, contrary to what many people think. Modesty and shyness is not the realm of females only, like many people in our Muslim community think. Many men in our Muslim community think shyness is just linked with women. There's no such thing as shyness for men. The most shy, Prophet ﷺ is talking about, the Sahaba saying he was the more shy than a virgin girl who used to keep away and stay in a room. And Uthman ibn Affan already mentioned. So this idea of modesty and shyness, which begins with shyness before Allah, and then shyness, of course, in society and people, is the realm of male and female. It can be exhibited in different ways, but it means both. Shyness and modesty from both. And it is to do with behavior. Many people think shyness and modesty is just in the dress. It's part of it is dress, but it's much more than that, more comprehensive. It's to do with how we behave. Our speech and our behavior, our manners are much more about haya than is the dress, actually. Never mind our behavior, the sayings and doings, but al-haya for male and female, its first part is to do with before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore it is about in word and behavior, staying away from ma'siyah, from that which is sinful before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, striving to do that. That's for believers, of course. That's for believers. That is haya. And that's, of course, for believers who are male and female. That's not. We don't say it's only for the females that they should avoid sinning because of haya, do we? Modesty and shyness before God is for male and female. So, in regards to this, is something which is more and more pertinent in a time where impertinence is widespread. And I choose my word on purpose. Al-haya is more and more pertinent, yeah, in a society where impertinence and, yeah, shamelessness is that which is circulating all around, yeah. And especially in the world that we live in today, of social media, of TikTok, of Instagram, yeah, of instantly taking photos of oneself and everything that comes with it. It's not about taking a photo. Nobody's saying just taking a photo of yourself, a selfie, suddenly you become shameless. No, that's not the idea. It's, you know what I'm talking about, it's deeper than that. And people are able, in fact, today's social media of TikTok and Instagram and everything else on an instant has allowed male and females to be in their own bedrooms, young, wherever they may be, maybe living in a modest and good family, to send out videos and photos which are shameless, yeah, because it's done in front of a camera thinking it's just a screen, right? Yeah, and actually it goes out to thousands and the world can see all over the place, yeah? And if they were actually to do it with all those people sitting in a hall in an audience, yeah, would it be the same? Would it be the same? Meaning, would it be easy for them to do as it is with the social media? No, it wouldn't be, actually. It'd be much more difficult because of that sense of natural shame that is there, yeah, and a sense of society and upbringing shame and religious shame even. But it's easy for that shame, yeah, to be thrown away because you're just facing a camera screen or a telephone, yeah, and anything goes, yeah. So there's a big danger. This is Shaitan playing the role of making society more and more shameless. And therefore, the idea of al-haya and having a sense of modesty and shame has been demoted and actually been described and seen by many as negative because they mix up modesty and shyness with weakness, which was to do with khajal, yeah, somebody being cowardice and weak and just, yeah, but modesty and shyness does not equal weakness. Modesty and shyness means you stand your ground and speak in front of a tyrant and you speak the truth, yeah, because you have modesty and shyness before Allah that you're going to speak the truth. So modesty and shyness actually gives you confidence, not makes you weak people. People mix that up. And therefore, when they mixed up, yeah, they have perpetuated in schools and in universities and in society this idea that the confident person, instead of the weak one, is the one with a loud mouth, yeah, even if it's got foul words coming out of it. The louder you are, laugh loud in front of everybody, talk loud in front of everybody, yeah. And then also even dress and wear makeup loud, which is to attract everybody's attention. Oh, yeah, this is a very confident person. Isn't she brave and courageous? Isn't he brave and courageous just for having a big mouth and nasty words? That's not confidence. That's just shamelessness, yeah? And this is the kind of thing that it's all been mixed up with. And perhaps because we misunderstood, al-haya doesn't mean that you become timid like sheep and let people walk all over you. Al-haya doesn't mean that prevents you from doing good or prevents you from your salah or your religion, that you just timidly walk away like a mouse. That is not al-haya. That is just cowardice. Al-haya, if we really understand it, it gives instead confidence because we give priority in as we do for iman in Allah, we give priority to having that haya before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, before anybody else, whatever people think, yeah? Whatever people think, as long as we are not doing ma'asiyah and sin before Allah, then it gives that confidence of, so That's very important to understand. The other thing is that people reduce to al-haya to some superficialities. Yeah. And I'm going to mention, firstly, the female, and now the believers, the idea. We reduced shyness and haya to just putting a scarf on the head. That has its problems. To reduce, and this topic I've talked about in my lectures on Islam and hijab, etc., and they're available in 4 or 5 long sessions. I don't intend to open the whole topic with that, but the idea of modesty and shyness wasn't just to do with the scarf. More than that, it was to do with how we talk, how we, our mannerisms, what we talk about, too many times I witness girls, young ladies with a scarf on their head, and I've heard the most foulest of language and inappropriate conversation where I've overheard going on, loud as well, which is the height of shamelessness, not having the, so they haven't really understood what this idea of modesty in Islam is, and on the other hand also, and that's that has many reasons to do with tarbiyah and understanding, and it's a problem for our community, not just for the parents of that particular girl, etc., but for society and imams as well, and how they've perpetuate this idea, and often to the extreme that they reduced a woman and a girl, her Islam, just to the scarf. That's it. And if somebody's not wearing a scarf, they may be modest, they may be praying 5 times a day, maybe a very a good woman who's done Umrah, been to Hajj, fast in Ramadan, is have taqwa in Allah. Some have gone as far as even calling such women prostitutes just because they didn't wear a scarf on their head. And that's kind of indecency from the people who make those kind of statements, I would say. Now, on the other hand, we also have this male chauvinism in our community, of they think that the sense of modest dress and behavior is only to be applied to female again. So the guys, and one of the reasons why good girls are sitting around in their 30s and 40s not married is because they can't find a decent guy who's got any haya, because they think the lads, we can do anything, we can swear left, right, and take the center, take drugs, be, you know, mess about with girls left, right, and center, but when I want to get married, now I'm looking for a modest girl. What happened to your modesty and immodesty and shamelessness? So this idea, and even the dress sense, they think they can do whatever they want, but the woman has to be, you know, dressed in a particular way. Well, that's not the woman they're going to mess about with, but it's the woman they want to perhaps settle down with. She has to be like that. But the woman they're going to mess about with, they've no problem with her dressing the way she's doing and behaving the way she's doing beyond that as well. But the idea of, you know, the So this idea of, is prevalent because of what I said earlier. That is because they think haya and modesty, and shyness is only for the females, not for the males, So this is also in itself causing problem, cause problems, and continue to be perpetuated. And it's still prevalent, perhaps more so than even in the past. I think that's all I want to say on this. Suffice it to say that you can see why Imam Nawawi included this hadith, and I in a sense, I agree with him, because Prophet ﷺ is making haya as a part of the iman, and then that's why Imam Nawawi is saying that the whole of Islam really revolves around this idea of Haya. Finally, actually, I've just remembered the last comment I want to make. And this is the nature and the fitra and the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just like if you sin and don't do tawbah and try and amend your ways, yeah, a black spot, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam appears. And if you sin more, you carry on sinning, what happens? More and more black spots appear and they gather together and your heart becomes hardened. Haya behaves similarly. If you behave shamelessly without doing tawbah, and without the volition to change, then you carry on doing more shameless, then you become shameless to the extent that you don't even realize that you are being shameless. Isn't that so, brothers and sisters? Yeah? So little by little, shaitan takes a complete hold of people that, and that's what happens to human beings, actually, aside from believers or otherwise. Yeah? When a man or a woman, and what's prevalent in the society, of course, which is selling women, they start taking their clothes off. They take a little bit, yeah? The clothes get shorter and shorter, yeah? And they get used to it. There's no shame then wearing a miniskirt once you start wearing it. And then those who take their clothes off completely, yeah? They may start off because of the fitrah and nature shy. They all do. They all do. But when they keep doing it, yeah, all that disappears. Yeah, they just do it as like it becomes like second nature, and this is the dangerous thing with sin itself, including this idea of shamelessness. And that's why Ibn Qayyim, actually, when I was thinking about this, Ibn Qayyim said similarly, interestingly, a student of Ibn Taymiyyah, he said if a person commits sin, his haya lessens. This is before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. More and more sin they do, their haya gets less and less until it becomes non-existent. Yeah. And people even start bragging about it. It's true, isn't it? Yeah. People actually start bragging about it. And you see that from the so-called stars that appear on the shows and things. People are bragging about that they've done this and done that. Yeah. Which is when really you've gone to the pits of shamelessness, the bottom. And Imam Bukhari will finish with this. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Kullu ummati mu'afa illa al-mujahirin." All of my ummah will be pardoned and forgiven except those who expose their sins openly. Wa inna min al-mujahara. And part of that exposing is, "An ya'mal rajul," that a person, يَأْمُلَ رَجُلْ بِاللَّيْلِ عَمَلًا ثُمَّ يُصْبِحُ, that a person does by night a deed, meaning a bad deed. Then by the morning, then comes the morning. وَقَدْ سَتَرَهُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ, and Allah had put the cover on that sin for that person. Yeah, meaning they've done it in hiding. فَيَقُولُ, yet the person says, "Oh, so-and-so, I did yesterday such and such and such and such." Yeah. وَقَدْ بَاتَ يَسْتَرُهُ, whereas, yeah, he had covered it by doing it in darkness the night before. That his Lord had covered him. Yeah. Covered him. So he's exposing it himself. وَيُسْبِهُ يَكْشِفُ سِتْرَ اللَّهِ عَنْهُ. Yeah, and yet in the morning, he's taking the cover that Allah put on him, he or she, and exposing it openly. Yeah, this is the Prophet ﷺ saying Allah will not pardon these people because they are actually bragging about their sin and evil and modesty and shamelessness. May Allah save us from that. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Any questions, brothers and sisters? Unbelievably, we've done one hadith in one session. That's not bad, is it?
I'm almost disappointed that we've only done it in one session. So I'm expecting, inshallah, some more commentary from you.
There's only four words of five for the hadith.
Alhamdulillah, deep, mashallah, and you went into amazing depths, subhanAllah. I'm always amazed by the wonderful words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi
wasallam. Sallallahu
alaihi wasallam. Be pleased with him, mashallah. Just want to ask you, was there a context for the hadith? Because when it was reported, it's just, I think it was directly, wasn't it? Rather than perhaps when it occurred, was that significant or perhaps not?
Not this study. Not this. Not, that's why they say, was it this way? Was it that way?
Hmm.
You know, how can it be taken? I mean, some of them had a context. The other hadith I gave you, for example, the two who were, one was telling the other one off about being too shy, and the Prophet sure. goes by and says, that has a context. This one, no. This comes as it is.
Okay. That's what I just need this now. Thank you.
And no other report brings any other context to it. You were looking for a sabab al-warud, as they say, for the hadith, the situation of it coming. No, we don't have that. And look at the contents of it. It doesn't require it. It's quite explanatory as it stands, because it's a major principle. Like, that's why the Prophet is saying, al-haya shubatul min al-iman, that it's a branch of iman, al-haya. It's such a core value. Any other questions, brothers and sisters?
Just off the back of that, Akhi, what you just said, it was a branch of iman, and obviously that the highest is belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the lowest is removing a harmful object from the path. Was it stated whereabouts on that scale?
No.
This was?
No.
Okay.
Part of it, yeah, meaning it's very... the fact that he mentioned it specifically shows you it's very important.
Right. Yes, mashallah.
Yeah. And he didn't mention all the other branches.
True.
So the fact that he mentions it shows you how serious and important it is.
Wow.
Any other questions? Nope. Everybody all right there? So, brothers and sisters, we'll do the next hadith next time, inshallah, if you have no more questions on this one. What's the date next week?
15th.
Yeah. So we'll do next week, inshallah, after that, I think we'll be stopping, inshallah. Is that all right, Zafar?
Yes, sure.
No written questions that I'm avoiding?
No, there's no question.
Exactly. I noticed that there's somebody else in Manchester doing a 40 hadith course. There was something circulated, but I've forgotten the name of the person doing it, but I think it's short presentations. May Allah help us and accept from us and forgive us and give us benefit. Anything good I said was with the tawfiq from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Any mistakes are mine and from shaitan. May Allah forgive me for that. JazakumAllah khair wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi.